Welcome to It's a Good Life, the podcast for entrepreneurs, where it's all about growing yourself and your business. Here's your host, founder of America's largest business coaching company, Brian Buffini.
Well, top of the morning to you, and welcome to It's a Good Life. Today's episode is entitled Seize the Day. Now, I'm not one usually for watching too much TV, but my daughters recently persuaded me to watch a Netflix show called One Day. And it's about two friends called Emma and Dexter, who meet in college and whose lives then intertwine over the next two decades. It's a very clever premise. Each episode happens on the same date, which is July 15th, every year. So we get a snapshot into that one day every year to see where the two characters are and how their lives are developing for better or for worse. Now, no spoilers here, but it's a real tearjerker. You might want to have the Kleenex handy. Anyhow, the show opened with a poem by English poet Philip Larkin that really hit me. And it said, "What are days for? Days are where we live. They come, they wake us, time and time over. They are to be happy in. Where can we live but days?" Where can we live but days? The truth of the matter is that today, this one day, is really all we have, right? To be honest with you, there's something you come to realize more and more as the older you get, and some of your friends or family begin to, you know, you go through the natural iterations of life and changes and move and people passing on. You know, no one knows the time or the date or the hour of our own demise. We don't know how many days we have left. Maybe a multitude, maybe not. So when you think about that, really, you have to realize that you have to make the most of every day you're blessed with. That's what today's episode is all about. In fact, the importance of seizing the day. We've been talking about it all year. We started off the year with seize the day for your business, but we called it do it now. And we talk about seize the day for your life, but we called it do it now. So many people have written me letters and emails and sent me pictures and images of trips they've taken and things they've done with their family they never would have done. But the do it now campaign is really, it's that decision. And it's affected me enormously. I just got back from the Masters with my son Alex, his future father-in-law and his future brother-in-law. And his future father-in-law, who's become a great friend and he's a steadfast listener to the podcast, he's a great golfer named J.O. And, you know, his whole dream, you know, was most of his adult life, go to the Masters. Well, I'd been in 1995, I'd been in 2001, I played the course in 2009. And every year I've had an opportunity to go to the Masters. And for whatever reason, I haven't gone. Always something to do. Watch it on TV. And then this year we put a plan together, put a budget together, and then boom, we went and we did it up. And it was an amazing experience. And it was really seizing the day, seizing the moment, seizing the opportunity. And that's an experience the four of us had that, you know, we'll never forget. And every time we see each other, that experience and that trip will be part of our conversation. So we all know the phrase, carpe diem, right? Seize the day. We can picture Dead Poets Society and Robin Williams' masterful performance in that movie, Seize the Day. But the phrase carpe diem is actually part of a longer phrase. It's carpe diem quam minimum credula postero. And it's the Roman poet Horace, which means seize the day and put very little trust in tomorrow. Now, obviously, I'm all about setting goals and having plans and doing all that kind of good stuff. But the truth of the matter is what we have is today. And what we have to do is seize the day. One of the things I hear is I've been several boards, whether they're businesses or charities and ministries. I sit on a board and this one church is buying this building. And they, once we get into the building, we'll do this. And once we get into the building, we'll do that. And I say to them, no, you won't. You know, you're not going to start this children's aftercare program once you have the building. You start the children's aftercare program and then you move into a building. It's like when I was selling real estate for so many years, people say to me, once I get this new house, I'm going to start working out. And I'd say, no, you won't. You start working out, and then when you move into the new house, then you'll continue it. And that's the key, is we have to seize the day. We have to understand that the day is what we have, and that's the day is all we have. And what happens is we lose the blessing and the value of each day when we get so focused on the future. We get anxious about the future. And then what happens is every day blends into another, and suddenly the years have passed. And then we look back and we realize we're not where we want to be or haven't achieved a fraction of what we hoped or are capable of. And then life is happening to us instead of we're happening to it. So today we're going to get into the root of the problem and find a way to seize the day, and then give you a few how-tos to seize the day yourself as part of our Do It Now campaign. So we're going to cover three main points, as I always do. We're going to talk about the feeling of feeling lost. We're going to talk about breakdown to breakthrough, and then we're going to talk about actual season, the day itself, carpe diem, that becomes our chant. So first of all, feeling lost. A recent survey found that 6 out of 10 people found they're stuck or in a rut. And so what are the symptoms of that? Well, the first thing is a loss of perspective, right? Can't see the wood for the trees. Now, I often feel that shows itself up in an erosion of gratitude and an increase in complaining. When you can't see the wood for the trees and you lose perspective, and I'm guilty of this, I'll find myself complaining more and being grateful less. So we have to see the wood for the trees. We need a bigger picture. Otherwise, we get overwhelmed by the trials of the day, the demands of the day. And so the carpe diem is most of us are not seizing the day. Most of us, the day is seizing us. And we're sweating the small stuff. And what do? We zone out. We check out. We go to Netflix for, you know, I just shared a great program, but I don't binge watch days of the stuff, you know. People are checking out into sports. People check out into all kinds of other stuff, alcohol, drugs, food, you name it. There's lots of ways to zone out. And what we need is to understand perspective. And the greatest little story I ever came across was from the great Mark Victor Hansen, who wrote, along with Jack Canfield, the Chicken Soup for the Soul series. And he and I became friends years ago, had him speak at a number of our events. And I heard him present this poem years ago by Valerie Cox called The Cookie Thief. And this is all about perspective. And I'll make a point here in a minute, but enjoy the poem. A woman was waiting at an airport one night with several long hours before her flight. She hunted for a book in the airport shops, bought a bag of cookies, and found a place to drop. She was engrossed in her book, but happened to see that the man sitting beside her, as bold as could be, grabbed a cookie or two from the bag in between, which she tried to ignore to avoid a scene. So she munched the cookies and watched the clock as the gutsy cookie thief diminished her stock. She was getting more irritated as the minutes ticked by, thinking, if I wasn't so nice, I would blacken his eye. With each cookie she took, he took one too. When only one was left, she wondered what he would do. With a smile on his face and a nervous laugh, he took the last cookie and broke it in half. He offered her half as he ate the other. She snatched it from him and thought, oh, brother, this guy has some nerve, and he's also rude. Why, he didn't even show any gratitude. She had never known when she'd been so galled and sighed with relief when her flight was called. She gathered her belongings and headed to the gate, refusing to look back at the thieving ingrate. She boarded the plane and sank in her seat. Then she sought her book, which was almost complete. As she reached in her baggage, she gasped with surprise. There was her bag of cookies in front of her eyes. If mine are here, she moaned in despair. The others were his, and he tried to share. Too late to apologize, she realized with grief that she was the rude one, the ingrate, the thief. I've always loved that poem. And that poem is about perspective. Now, I'm going to say this. There is an awful lot of people running around with jacked up perspectives, and it influences everything. The perspective that people have about politics, most people's perspective about politics is jacked up. Why? Because it's been intentionally jacked up by people who know how to turn the levers and create emotional responses. Very little of it's based in fact and truth. I can tell you, I've been in Washington. I've been with the politicians. I've seen them go out and make the impassioned speech and then sat down and had a glass of wine with them when they said the direct opposite. But they knew their constituents would rise. They knew they could turn the dials and get people inflamed. Perspective. We have people who say, man, the country's gone to pot. We have people who say the future's bleak. We have people who say you can't make money anymore. Taxes are too high. You know, I live in California. People are leaving the state in record numbers. Is the state over? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe it's just a perspective thing. The fact of the matter is we have to check our perspective, because what happens is on top of those perspectives, we make decisions. When I'm typically talking to someone who's looking for advice or counsel, they usually come to me and they have a couple of solutions already in mind when they start the conversation. And a lot of times those solutions are based on not a great perspective. So we need outside help. We need to talk things through. A coach is the best way to get proper perspective. We've had people who felt like they were doing terrible when they were right on track. We've had people who felt like they were killing it when they were actually behind. And I think that's the biggest gift that a coach gives is perspective. If you're in business for yourself and don't have a coach, here's my advice. Go get one. A funny story about perspective. USA Today founder Al Neuhardt said, "The difference between a mountain and a molehill is your perspective." Pastor Stephen Furtick said, "Your perspective will either become your prison or your passport." So first of all, if you're feeling a bit lost, check your perspective. Talk to someone. Get the outside perspective. Lean into a coach. Get the outside perspective. It might not be what you think. The second thing is we tend to lose our love for what we do. Very easy to do it. Very easy to do it. My demands are enormous. The demands of the company that I founded are very different than the demands when I get a chance to speak or present. I love to speak and present, but it's a very small percentage of what I do. So what happens? We can lose the love for what we do. You have the daily grind starts wearing you down, the mundane routines. I love the movie Groundhog Day. Why? Because Bill Murray shows the same day over and over and over again starts to drive him nuts. Viktor Frankl said, "Life is never made unbearable by circumstances, but only by lack of meaning and purpose." Hugo Black said, "The very first condition of lasting happiness is that a life should be full of purpose, aiming at something outside self." I got another poem for you that's by L.R. Nost, and it says, "Life is amazing, and then it's awful, and then it's amazing again. And in between the amazing and the awful, it's ordinary and mundane and routine. Breathe in the amazing. Hold on through the awful. And relax and exhale during the ordinary." That's just living, heartbreaking, soul-healing, amazing, awful, ordinary life. And it's breathtakingly beautiful. So sometimes we lose a little juice for what we're doing. And then we start looking for answers. So we have to ask ourselves some of the big questions. Okay, who am I? Why am I here? How then should I live? And where am I going? Maybe who am I going with? Five good questions. Some of life's small questions, you know, for business purposes. I ask people, how many notes did you write? How many calls did you do? How many Popeyes did you did in your business? You know, you get back to the small. The small questions sometimes will give you big answers. For your health, did I do my 45 minutes on the elliptical, right? I mean, just those kinds of questions all the time. Dr. Sue said, sometimes the questions are complicated and the answers are simple. And that's a good way to look at it. Sometimes the answer is inside your question. But I think when you're looking for answers, it's good to ask questions. It's good to, like I say, get an outside perspective. We all need help. My friend Bob Bodine says, we're all born a half cup short. Someone else has another contributing half cup. It might be a coach, could be a mentor, could be a friend, could be a pastor, could be a family member. We don't know. But we all are born a half cup short. We need other people. We need other people to help us with perspective. We don't want to lose it. We don't want to lose our love for what we do. We want to keep looking for answers. Second major point is sometimes the breakdown leads to the breakthrough. I've been in this situation many, many times in my life where the breakdown preceded the breakthrough. Sometimes it was financial. Sometimes it was in business. Sometimes it was in health. Some of the biggest life lessons I shared, the do it now philosophy, came from a bad diagnosis I got and the passing of my father-in-law. That changed my perspective. I've been on the do it now campaign ever since, and I've been living a very full life. It's a very, very powerful thing. And we've covered different versions of this, and I'd encourage you, again, there's a Netflix show out right now about Diana Nyad, and many of you may not be aware. Diana Nyad is not just the woman who swam from Cuba to Miami and the incredible story of that, but she's one of the best ever public speakers of all time. And we had her at our Mastermind Summit a few years ago. And by the way, this year is the 25th anniversary. We're calling it The Last Dance. Probably have the most star-studded lineup we've ever had, four amazing speakers. So if you're out there, you might want to check out itsagoodlife.com and check out Mastermind. It's going to be in San Diego, August 6th and 7th. I'd love to see you there. So we had Diana there. She was in season 1, episode 35, And it's called The Other Shore with Diana Nyad. And brilliant, brilliant presenter. And inspirational stuff. And personally, I didn't like the Netflix portrayal of her because she's so much more powerful. But it still gives you great insight into what she did and what she accomplished. So how do you do the breakdown to break through? So the first thing is when you're feeling broken down, and it's counterintuitive, is to go focus on others. When you get your eyes off yourself and your own problems and you get them onto others, it's amazing how restorative that can be. So be of service, right? Go above and beyond. Be looking for ways to help other people, not to your own detriment, so that it burns you out further, but it will actually take your eyes up off yourself and onto someone else, and it raises your head and raises your perspective. Remember that relationships are everything, and they're at the heart of every good business and at the heart of every good life. And then be part of a community. Don't go it alone. Okay? Make sure you're part of a connection and community. This broadcast is going out while I'm doing our peak experience. And our peak experience is our kind of flagship event. It's sold out a year in advance every year. And it's a remarkable community. They actually call themselves the White Hats, who achieve at a high level and then spur one or another on. They go on vacations together. They take trips together. I'm going to lose weight. How about you lose weight? And 20 of them will do it together. I'm going to grow my business. You're going to grow your business, and 40 of them will do it together. It's remarkable. They're the most high achieving clients we have at Buffini & Company, but they're of good service. They've got great relationships with their customers and one another, and they're in community with one another, kind of the role model for our whole business and a role model for all of us. The second part is when you break down is how do you regain your passion, right? And you got to look for those glimmers. Sometimes that's all it is, you know, small joys. And so what are the glimmers? What are the things that you do? You know, it's interesting. I've had a very, very busy season in my life. You know, the real estate business has been somewhat in chaos. This Department of Justice lawsuit came down. The real estate industry and companies are kind of flailing. I have my own business. You know, we've had a downturn as, you know, the industry's down 27% last year and down about 15% this year. It's affected us too. And it's been trying. It's been stressful. I mean, amongst the most stressful periods I've had in 38 years of business. But I did a podcast the other day. And actually, I did two. I did an interview with Vanessa Van Edwards. And then I had Eric Weinmeier, who's two of the speakers at Mastermind this year. And they just lifted my spirits. And I was so fired up and so pumped afterwards. And I came out and walked to our two producers here, David Lally and Danny Iverson. And I walked out to them and I said, lads, I do that for free every day. It was just a fantastic privilege to be able to do it. Remember, oh yeah, that's why I'm doing it. And I was so excited at the joy I know that would bring to our listeners. And so sometimes you just need to, okay, get that little glimmer and regain your passion. You got to let yourself have a little bit of fun, you know, maybe shake things up to have a bit of fun. And then again, make sure you have someone in your life who's helping you, who's coaching you, who's supporting you, to keep you doing the things that you're good at, okay? Because when you do what you're good at, you tend to enjoy it. When you enjoy it, you do it well. Do things well, you tend to get paid well. You know, show me a man skilled in his labor, he'll serve before kings. And then the third piece of this is finding contentment, which is, okay, we all want to get there, challenging place to get to. A couple of tips on how to find more contentment is, first, don't take anything personally. Accept that you can't control everything. And that happy is not always what you're looking for. Okay. Finding those little pieces of contentment, like it's all good. Like it's a good life. It's a good life is a great phrase because it doesn't mean life is always awesome. It doesn't leave life is always on the top. You know, it's a good life. That's the poem I read from L.R. Nost, right? Life is amazing and then it's awful, right? Then that happens. But it's still overall, it's a good life. Ben Franklin, America's first millionaire, and there's another great show about him. Michael Douglas is portraying Ben Franklin. You can tell I've been on a lot of planes lately watching these shows, but contentment makes poor men rich. Discontentment makes rich men poor. Well said, Ben Franklin. We all know the serenity prayer. Develop the serenity to accept the things you can't control, the things to focus on the things you can control, and the wisdom to tell the difference, right? So we want to break down sometimes, and if you're feeling broken down, you want to break down to break through. Focus on others, regain your passion, find a little contentment. And then lastly, carpe diem itself, seize the day. There's a cool little phrase called YOLO, which is Y-O-L-O, and it's you only live once, right? YOLO. Now, sometimes, again, these thoughts and these phrases can be used to be irresponsible. Oh, you only live once, therefore, you know, I'm just going to be a crazy person. Well, that's true, and you have that freedom too, but what I like the idea of is setting those goals, having those dreams, put together a budget. What's it going to take to get there? Maybe you have to discipline or sacrifice to get there, and then seize the day, and you only live once. And that's a great way to go about it. So here's a couple of tips on how to carpe diem, how to go seizing that day instead of the day seizing you. First of all, intentionally have a great attitude. Next time you're driving, look at the faces on the people in the cars, and you'll see how many people's faces are predisposed to turn down. Their mouth is actually predisposed into a downward motion. And I'm just going to say that having a great attitude is an intentional thing. I have to work at it. I have to focus at it. A season like this, I'm getting bombarded all the time. I try to take time. I try to take energy, whether it's the 45 minutes on the elliptical machine or the walks I take or the little breaks I take in my day. What can I do? Recently, before my big event, this Peak Experience event, and this recording is going live on that day, I took 5 days to go to Hawaii. And I eat good, exercise well, really immerse myself in the content so that my attitude can be at an all-time high for these folks so I can serve. That's what it takes. And I find that I have to work at it more now than ever before. But I want to have a great attitude, so I put myself in a position to do that. The great Norman Vincent Peale said, any fact facing us is not as important as our attitude towards it, for that determines our success or failure. Our friend Zig Ziglar used to say, your attitude, not your aptitude, will determine your altitude. Is that the most Zig Ziglar thing ever said? Secondly, be relentlessly positive. I love that. I'm a relentless guy, and I love the concept of being relentlessly positive. I'm always looking for the good. I'm always looking for the positive. I'm always looking for where things can go, how things can move. You know, a University of California study found that a positive mindset can increase your lifespan by up to 7 years. That makes sense. And oh, by the way, they'll be happy years instead of miserable. A University of Westminster study found that 85% of people who have a positive mindset on life experience significantly less depression and anxiety. So guess what? The attitude allows us to seize the day. The attitude allows us to seize more days, 7 years, in fact. And then we find out that the 7 years extra we get, they're actually better days. So this is definitely the way to seize the day. And then we have to take care of business itself. You know, Phil Connors in Groundhog Day says you can waste time, you can kill time, you can do time, but if you use it wisely, there's never enough of it. So you'd better make the most of the time you've got. The movie Groundhog Day shows Bill Murray living the same day over and over and over and over and over again. And initially, he does the very worst to his nature. He eats too much. He uses it to manipulate people. He steals money. He does all kinds of terrible things. And then eventually, instead of giving over to his basest nature, he gives over to his highest nature. And at the end of the movie, he becomes the most popular man in the entire town. Why? Because he's serving people. He's helping people. He's giving back to people. And there's a great scene at the end of the movie where he's at a party and it's the community dance and all these people are coming up and thanking him for his, oh, thank you for changing my tire. Oh, thank you for getting us tickets to the WrestleMania. Oh, thank you for, you did the Heimlich maneuver on my husband. Oh, thank you for this and thank you for that. And he's the most popular man in town, and he went from being a self-serving, self-consumed guy with a negative attitude to a guy who served and blessed and built relationships and living the good life. Tolkien said, all we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given. W.H. Auden said, don't let time deceive you, for you can't conquer time. And Abraham Lincoln said, the best thing about the future is that it comes one day at a time. One day at a time, indeed. So we want to have a great attitude, be relentlessly positive, and take care of business. You know, sometimes you're going to feel a little lost. Sometimes you're going to want a breakthrough. Sometimes you need a carpe diem and seize the day. You know, one of the really special things about this show is the fantastic feedback we get from thousands and thousands of listeners we have across the globe. And we have folks tuning in from countries all over the world, and they often write to tell me that this show is the highlight of their day. And they tell me where they listen to it and how they listen to it. But the common message I get is that for the 25 or 35 minutes, all these folks are really in the moment, soaking up the good stuff, helping them live the good life. So that's a great pleasure for me. It's a great service to me. We appreciate your reviews and your feedback like that. And like I said, if you know someone who thinks maybe this could make their day and improve their spirit, maybe share the podcast with somebody. When was the last time you did that? When was the last time you said to somebody, hey, check out this Good Life podcast? Because we want to reach as many people as possible. So I hope that you get a chance to seize the day. I hope that your days are filled with great promise and life. And I hope that this particular podcast has been a blessing to all of you. With that said, I'm going to throw it to our executive producer, Mr. David Lally, who has some words of wisdom for us all.
Brian, thank you. As always, this was fantastic content today. Carpe diem. I have lots to be thinking about. And thanks to you listeners, 2,500 of you have left reviews. Just want to say thanks to you. We really appreciate it. We love hearing from you. We read them all. Jerry Rankin posted a review. I think Jerry might know you, Brian. He says, thanks, Brian. Great insight. And for me as a fellow dub, it's so direct and to the point. Most of all, you make me proud to be from Dublin, Ireland. Keep up the good work. And yes, it's a good life.
Up the dubs.
Go on. Thanks, Jerry. We love hearing from you all. So do leave a review right here on the app. And as Brian said, we have the Do It Now program. If you would like a free business consultation and see massive growth in your business and in your life, head over to itsagoodlife.com/BC. Get yourself a free business consultation. Here's Therese.
May the road rise up to meet you, and may the wind always be at your back. May the rain fall soft upon your fields, and the sun shine warm upon your face. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the hollow of his hand. See you next time.